Listen up, people. That's right. It's time to listen to the sparks of bliss in your life. I'm your host and life coach, Caroline de Posada from Miami, Florida. And this podcast is an invitation to join me in upgrading our mindset, wellness, and relationships so that together we create a life that unlocks our bliss. Join me each week as we explore practical strategies, inspiring stories, and the moments of clarity, or as we like to call them, los momenticos, that make the world a little more magical. Consider this your weekly dose of wisdom in your pocket. Are you ready? Let's do this. Hey, listeners, welcome to episode number 36 of Blissin' Up. Happy New Year! It is our very first podcast episode of 2025, and I am so excited to be able to connect with you, to start a brand new, fresh year with you, and hopefully to be able to support you throughout the entire year. I am especially grateful today to be back in my casita, back to work, to my routine, to my life. You know, we just got back from a pretty long winter vacation and we were all longing to come home. And I was thinking about what a privilege it is to have a life, a business, and a home that you long to look to come back to. Especially when you're on vacation, because vacations are pretty amazing, but there's something so special about wanting to come back to the life that you've created, especially when it's a great one. It's a great life. So anyway, I was thinking about today's episode. The way that I structure my episodes is the first of the month, I love to create a theme for the month. I think this is an intentional practice that everyone should participate in. I personally love to use themes to keep me grounded. Every month has its own energy, its own vibe, and you use that energy and that vibe to keep you making aligned choices and stay on path and make decisions accordingly and not get derailed. And I was struggling with a theme for January, and I realized what the struggle is all about. You see, at the end of December, when you start getting ready for a new year, you stop talking about months. And you start talking about the year. And all of a sudden, this big year becomes the focus. And we choose our word of the year, which if you haven't chosen your word of the year, I have a guide that you can go to my show notes, click on it, and it's not too late. You can still choose your word for the year. It's a great practice, but we choose our word for the year. People start talking about resolutions for the year, goals for the year, visions for the year, right? You stop talking about months and start looking at this big picture. And what I noticed is that January carries the burden of the entire year. January takes on the persona of the whole year. It's like the representation of the entire year and all of our hopes and our desires and everything we want to let go from the previous year and all of our bad habits, like everything wants to be thrown into this little month of January. But at the end of the day, it's just one more month in your collection of your life. It's just one more month. Granted, it creates this new year vibe and this new energy, but it's still a month. And it really doesn't deserve that much pressure. I think we could be a little bit more kind to January. But anyway, so I couldn't figure out a theme for it at the beginning. I was like thinking about like what would be a great theme for this month. And then it came to me during a conversation I was having with my husband on our flight home last night. Now, I don't know if I've shared this story with you, but it's such a beautiful story that I'm going to take a little moment to share with you of what I was doing on my winter vacation. So my husband had a lifelong dream of celebrating a white Christmas. He is a Cuban boy, born and raised in Miami. Never in his life has he woken up on a Christmas morning and gone outside and played in the snow. Granted, his mom has been taking him skiing since he was like 10 years old. So he's definitely seen the snow. He's an avid skier. He grew up going to the mountains and the snow, but always, you know, after Christmas. That's like our Miami practice. You celebrate Christmas in Miami, and then on the 27th or 28th, you head out to the mountains and you chase the snow, and then you bring in the new year in a wintry place, maybe a cabin in North Carolina or Tennessee or Colorado or something like that. And then that's it. That's the tradition. But he always had a dream of waking up on Christmas morning and celebrating an actual white Christmas like he saw in the movies, like he heard in the songs, like this American dream that he heard about but had never actually experienced. And I'm going to make a long story short, but every year it didn't seem like the right year to do it with our family. And I wasn't a big, I felt like it was going to be too much trouble, like more trouble than it was worth. And, you know, leaving the grandparents and the great grandparents and, you know, traveling with all the gifts, like it felt like such a mission. So year after year after year, he talked about this dream, but it really wasn't feasible at the time. And he agreed that it wasn't feasible until this year. This year was the first year that he was like, oh my God, I feel like this is the year. Like we could do this. The kids are old enough. We could, you know, ship a few gifts to the house. Like it doesn't have to be that complicated. It's not, we could actually make this happen. And we started exploring it. And then the kids weren't really too into it. They love their traditions with their grandmothers and the way that they celebrate their Noche Buena and their Christmas morning. It's like works for them, you know, everything was fine. And Orlando kind of realized at some point that this was just his dream. It wasn't the kids' dream. It wasn't my dream. It was just his dream. And it probably wasn't feasible. And he kind of gave up on the idea. And I noticed how disillusioned he was. He didn't make a big fuss of it at all, but I noticed he was kind of disillusioned about the whole thing. And he was kind of like, I should have taken them when they were little, you know, but now everybody has an opinion and I kind of missed my window on having this dream. And that is when I decided that it was time for me to make it our dream, not just his dream, because in marriage, I actually have these tips for a blissful marriage. It's a 17 tips to a blissful marriage. If you want to read the tips, I'll link it in my show notes. But tip number 12 that I wrote is embrace each other's crazy. Because every one of us has a little crazy in us. We have, you know, when we dream, dreams are usually a little crazy. Right? There, you know, we have our own quirks, we have our own fantasies, we have our own ideas about how things should be. And one of my tips was embrace each other's crazy. And I noticed that because we had not embraced my husband's dream, you know, it was kind of like falling by the wayside. And this man is so generous and splendid with our family. He's always creating experiences for us. He's always trying to create magic for us. He's always trying to create trips and opportunities for us to bond as a family. And I was like, this is his dream that we have just poo-pooed on. Like we have not embraced it. And I decided this was going to be our dream. So I got my children. I set them aside. I said, listen to me carefully. We are going to have a white Christmas for your father. We're going to pick a place. We're going to plan this trip. We're going to do it behind his back. And we're all going to get on board. And we're going to make his dream our dream, right? Tip number 12, embrace each other's crazy. And we are going to make this happen for this man because I want him to have his white Christmas. So I got together with a friend of mine. She helped me plan the trip. She did a great job. She found me this little cabin. She found me a hotel in Green Bay. You know, we picked Wisconsin because my kids are super into football. There was a game on the 23rd at Lambeau Field, which is known as the Frozen Tundra. So it was very on theme. The whole vibe was like winter and it looked like a viable place for it to snow. And I planned the whole thing. And over dinner, we presented my husband with this folder and with a, you know, a love letter to him and pictures of all the cabin and the places we're going to visit. And I rented the car. I mean, we did the whole thing and we surprised him and we were off for our white Christmas. And for the last couple of months, all I have done is pray that there will be snow on the ground on Christmas morning, because Orlando didn't need it to be actually snowing on Christmas morning. He just wanted there to be snow on the ground, but he had this vision that we'd be in this little cabin and he'd wake up, there'd be this big Christmas tree and gifts under, and then he'd open the door and there'd be all this snow on the ground and he can go out and play with his kids and build a snowman and do all that kind of stuff. So I prayed for snow for the last couple of months because it's obviously not guaranteed no matter where you go. But I went to a place where the chances were higher than usual. And on the 23rd, on the day of the football game that we were there, it snowed the entire day, making it a sure bet that we would have a white Christmas. So on the 24th, which was our Noche Buena, we got in our car, we drove to our little cabin, we arrived at this cabin that was snowy and magical and remote and beautiful, and it had a little tree house and it was in the woods, but it wasn't so isolated that you had to drive for miles to get anywhere. Like, you know, there was a Walmart 15 minutes away. It's not super isolated. So it was like this perfect little cabin in Door County, Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin. And we walked in, and when my husband walked through the doors and he saw the cabin, there was like this fireplace, and then on either side of the fireplace there were these huge, huge, huge windows, and all you could see was snow for miles behind. And he said, "Caro, you nailed it." I mean, even down to the vision of the cabin, there had these wood ceilings, these high, high wood ceilings, wood floor. Everything that he dreamt of was in this picture that he walked into in this cabin on Noche Buena. And so we made a beautiful dinner. And then the next morning, the Weather Channel predicted that it was going to be a sunny day. And it was a sunny day for the most part. But in the morning, on Christmas morning, we had this Christmas tree, which, by the way, the cabin gave us a Christmas tree, but it was kind of small. And my husband wanted a big Christmas tree, like a real legit Christmas tree. So on Noche Buena, we got in our car. As soon as we arrived in the cabin, we went out, headed out towards Walmart so we could buy the food for the night or whatever, and groceries and do all that stuff. But we were driving and he's like, "Maybe we'll find a Christmas tree somewhere." And lo and behold, there was this sign and it said Christmas trees for sale. We drove in and there was all these Christmas trees, but nobody there. There was a little sign on the door and it said, "Leave $40 in the mailbox if I'm not here, and grab whichever Christmas tree you want." So we're looking around and we find the perfect tree, perfect size, perfect tree for our house. And then we're thinking, well, how are we going to get this on our car to take to the house? I mean, maybe we need a rope or something. So we start looking around, we find the house the house behind the Christmas trees, and we knock on the door, and this guy comes out. His name is Steve, and Steve looks like Santa Claus. He's adorable, just absolutely adorable. And we tell him, "Hey Steve, sorry to bother you. We were going to leave the $40 on the door, but we're wondering, do you have some rope? Do you have any rope you can give us so we could tie the Christmas tree?" And Steve says, "Well, how far are you away from here?" "Oh, well, we're renting a cabin about, 17 minutes from here." And he says, "Oh, well, just go to Walmart, do your groceries, and when you're on your way back, stop by here. I'll have the tree in my truck and I'll take it to you." I mean, the nicest person ever. Nicest town. Just the most amazing people. So we go to Walmart. We buy some decorations. We found one box of Christmas lights, one box for the entire tree. It's the only thing they had left at Walmart. And we got some food. We get back in the car, we go home, and Steve delivers the Christmas tree to our house. So we put the Christmas tree up, and on Christmas morning, we have the Christmas tree with the lights. We have the gifts under the tree. Orly got us this strobe light. And he was like, "Maybe this is a good idea," which, to compensate for not having a lot of Christmas lights, it worked perfectly. But the weather app says it's going to be sunny. And yet when we go outside after opening our gifts and looking around and my husband realizing his dream, we go outside and there it is. It's snowing on Christmas morning. Not only was there snow on the ground, but it was a pure white Christmas, an actual pure white Christmas. And it was just the most beautiful day. It was a dream come true for this man. We dared to do this year differently than we had ever done it before. We left our family, which was hard, right? Leaving the grandmas and the great grandparents was kind of hard, but we ended up celebrating Christmas a week before with them so that we could have both. And it was the most magical thing ever. And fun story, 2 days later, we wake up in the morning and the snow is completely gone. It had melted away completely, completely. There was not a drip of snow left on the ground. Nothing in the cabin was snowy. It was just green. And my husband said, oh, this feels like the universe, like God was like, hey, listen, I did this for you, but don't take it for granted because, you know, it wasn't guaranteed. Nothing in life is guaranteed. So be grateful for what you got. And we were very, very, very grateful. But anyway, we're on our flight back home. And we're talking about the transition. We were going from Sturgeon Bay to Chicago. And even though it was still vacation or whatever, there was a change in the energy when we went into Chicago. It was like, you know, after the whole white Christmas thing, my family was ready to come home. But we went to this big city. So we shifted. We shifted from the cabin into the big city. We shifted. And my husband's telling me on the plane, he's like, you know, there was like a change of vibe. There was a change of focus. There was a change of purpose going into this new city. And it was fun. We had a great time. But we could have also done without it. Like we could have come home and the trip would have been complete as it was in Sturgeon Bay. So that was where we were having the conversation. And in that conversation, I realized that is what January is. January is a shift. That is the theme of January. It's you shift. You shift focus. You shift purpose. You shift perspective. You shift direction. There's a shift. It's a realignment of life. Now, in December, there's a lot of indulgences. There's a lot of parties. There's decorations. There's changes in the environment, right? There's added responsibilities. There's gifts. There's wrapping. There's a bunch of stuff. While simultaneously, there's closing loops, closing things down, wrapping things up, ending. You're creating an end of a chapter of your life. And January is a shift. Is a shift from holidays into more focus, more purpose, more direction, routine, better habits, less indulgences. A lot of people choose January to be dry January because they want to nip the alcohol in the butt, right? Like they want to clean things up. They want to get healthier again. They want to get into the right mindset. It's a shift. So that is, I think, the perfect theme for this month is shift. And the thing about shift is that it doesn't mean that you have to have all the answers. It doesn't mean that you have to create all of the routines, all of the diet plans. It doesn't have to be extreme. Shifts are not extreme. Shifts are just tweaks. They're just a little bit of shift of a direction. Imagine that you're you're sailing on a boat and you're going in a direction and all of a sudden you just shift a little bit to go a little bit towards the left or a little bit towards the right, just stay in alignment. And I think that is the magic of January, because yes, it brings in this idea of new beginnings and new vibes and hope and excitement, but really it's all about just shifting just a little bit, curbing towards the direction of the life you want to live. So this month, I want you to think about that shift. And the way that you do it is the way that you do this practice every other month of the year. You notice, you name, and you nurture. First, you notice, you take inventory. Take inventory of the essentials in your life. You know, when I do one-on-one coaching and I do my consult, the first thing that I do in the consult is that I go through your life audit, like your life wheel. So we look at your career, your work, your job, your relationships with your spouse, your kids, your friends, your colleagues, yourself, your money, your health and wellness, your habits, your spirituality, and your sense of self, your mindset, your identity, the way you talk to yourself, etc. So we take inventory of these essentials. You look at that and you think, how are things going? What do you want more of? What do you want to bring into your year? What do you want less of this year? Right? It's just taking inventory, noticing on a scale from 1 to 10, where are you on all of these little buckets of these essentials? Then you name it. You name how you want to feel. You name what you want to prioritize. You look for the patterns. That's how you name your theme. So shift for me, and hopefully for you, is a great one because, well, in my case, something that I've realized is that because I've been doing this work for a long time, I've created a lot of things in my life. I've, you know, decluttered my home. I've become more organized. I have a consistent exercise practice. I've nourished my body. I eat pretty well. I have a lot of good habits in my life. I have a good spiritual practice, a good journaling practice, etc. But because of seasons and because life goes up and down, sometimes this last couple of months, I've shifted a little bit away from my cleanest, highest, best self, right? So I've indulged more than I usually do. I've had way more sugar than I usually do. I've exercised, but at a bare minimum, maybe like twice a week instead of 4 times a week, right? Or 5 times a week. So I had less of my best practices and more of my indulging practices. So shift for me is shift more into my ideal practices, which I already have under my belt. Maybe for you, there are some practices that you don't have under your belt yet. So you're shifting towards making that your priority this year, is creating a consistent exercise routine, or creating a consistent wellness eating plan, or creating a consistent journaling practice. But really, this month is just about shifting in that direction. And then you're going to need all the other months to support that. You're going to need February and March and April and May. You know, every month supports that. And then at the end of the year, what happens is that you, when you go by this practice, when you do these themes and you're really mindful and you're really intentional, at the end of the year, you realize that each month has become a chapter. And at the end, you have a 12-chapter book of your life. And then that book becomes part of the collection of your body of work, which is your life, your life in and of itself, right? So every year is one book in the body of work, in the main body of work. So imagine a series like, you know, Harry Potter or Diary of a Wimpy Kid, or any other series. You have your book and that book has its own chapters and its own plot and its own storyline, but then you have the series, and that series create a collection, and that creates your body of work. And maybe you have, you know, 50 of them, or maybe you have 100 of them if you're lucky, but that is the body of work that is your life, and that is the story that you are writing, the book that you are writing, the ultimate book that you are writing. So this month is a teeny, teeny contribution to a bigger book, which is a contribution to a bigger body of work. And what matters most than anything is how you live today is going to contribute towards that overall collection. You're contributing toward that body of work. So immediate gratification is often forgetting about the body of work and only thinking about what's the exciting right now. But when you delay gratification and you look at the body of work, then you start to really capture in the magic. You really start to build something you're so, so proud of. And it's a beautiful way to live. So I think that's why I was struggling with January, is because for a minute, I kind of got lost in the whole vagueness of the year, because that's what happens. The year becomes, it's so big that it becomes very, very, very vague. And yet it's not that big when you chunk it up into pieces, but it's important to come back to the month, to what we are right now, to what we're looking at right now, this month. What are we building? And really what we're doing is we're starting a new book this year. This is a new book. And this month is really about the pre-work. Like, the real fun stuff is going to happen probably in the middle of the year when you start to spring into action. Right now, it's kind of the pre-work. You're just setting the foundation. You're doing some groundwork. You're setting some rules. You're creating some non-negotiables. You're thinking about what the plot is going to be, who the main characters are, what is it going to look like. And then you're going to start diving deeper into the story, and there's going to be some surprises. There's going to be some things that are unexpected. There's going to be some plot twists. But at the end of the year, the goal is that you look back and you think that you're really proud of how you played the game, how you participated, how you showed up. You're really proud to how you reacted to all the twists and the turns, and how you handled everything that came along your way. And that's when you look and you go, man, that was a year well lived. So this month is a month of shifting. What are you shifting towards? What in your buckets, career, relationships, money, health, spirituality, and your sense of self, what are you noticing? What are you naming? Are you giving words to how you want to feel? Are you giving words to what you want to prioritize? Are you looking for the patterns? And then the last step of the process, of course, is nurture. You nurture that with your actions, with your choices, with your habits, with your decisions, with the people you surround yourself, with what you read, with what you listen to, with what choices you make day by day by day. You nurture the theme. You nurture the overarching picture. You nurture the vision. You nurture the dreams. You nurture the sense of self you are creating. And how you do one thing is how you do anything. So how you do this month is how you'll do next month, and beyond and beyond. So this is a great practice for you to start. If you have not done this practice before, I invite you to start with me in January with our first theme of our first chapter of our book. And let's see how it develops. We're going to do this together. We're going to do this in community. And this is really exciting. So you don't have to, you know, go into a crazy extreme or try to accomplish everything or put all the pressure of the entire year in January. But I do want you to start writing your story. I do want you to start shifting and doing the pre-work for your greatest and best life. Happy New Year, and I will see you next week on our beautiful and sacred Sunday. Bye. That's it for today's episode. Thanks so much for being here. I am deeply, deeply grateful for this time to connect. If you're loving this podcast, I'd love if you could support me by subscribing, rating, and/or leaving a review wherever you listen to podcasts. Those reviews help us so, so much. And if you know of someone who could really use a voice like mine in their head, please share this with them and let them know how much you care about their bliss. Now, if you are feeling called to dig deeper and really work on elevating your mindset, wellness, and your relationships to create a healthier, happier, and more meaningful life, then I invite you to schedule a 60-minute complimentary consultation with me. Let's have a meaningful conversation and see if working together is in our future. You can find the link to the calendar of consults right there in my show notes, but you can also connect with me on my website, carolinedeposada.com, or just send me a DM on Instagram, at carolinedeposada. Like my friend always says, the project is big and you're a part of it. So thanks for being here.